It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Total, by the way, just calculated move. 4 o'clock on a Friday. All right, nobody's going to be able to talk about this. The weekly shows, most of them, at least in terms of national media, are done. So this won't garner any major attraction. And then the NFL play on Sunday, and hopefully some big storyline comes out and nobody pays attention to this, right? That's what you do. That's what you got to do. The thing they failed to recognize is, of course, that Afternoon Drive was still on the air, and I get to talk to you guys tonight. Jake Volnick with you guys here on 92.3 The Fan, 7 to 11. A lot of good stuff coming up tonight. As you could imagine, a lot of talk about this restructure contract of Deshaun Watson. I mean, just a bit of a bombshell dropped on you. And so my reaction to this has changed throughout the day. Because I initially see the news, and I'm reading everything that goes down, and I don't. Any of you have ever listened to me, if you've ever spoken to me, you figured out pretty quickly I'm not the smartest man in the world, okay? So when it comes to contracts, I'm sitting there going, okay, what does this actually mean? I see a lot of things happening here. Somebody with a brain, tell me what's actually happening, okay? I know what they're saying, not going to impact the first 2 years or the 2 years that Deshaun's actually here. As of right now, the restructure doesn't touch those. I can intake that. I got that. That is palpable to me, okay? I have it. I was waiting on the back end stuff. What does it actually mean for Deshaun's future here and everything else? And we got that news as the day went on. But even as that news initially broke, I'm sitting there going, okay, is it really that big of a deal? Is this something that we're going to overblow and it's not going to have that much of an impact? This is essentially just a money move and the Browns make money moves in the salary cap. They're just trying to essentially finagle it any way that they can. But the more and more that I thought about it and we moved on throughout the day, I became more and more upset. Just thinking about what the actual implications of the Browns doing this means. And it starts with the clear and obvious fact of you've essentially just tied yourself to Deshaun Watson for longer than you've already had to. Right? You knew he was going, in my eyes, the idea that Deshaun was going to be here through 2026 was already pretty much there in my head because of the way they kicked the can down the road. And if you go ahead and release him, all of the money pretty much flies up to the first void year of his contract and you'd have been dropping a good portion of your salary cap, right? A lot of people like to say salary cap's a myth, doesn't matter, you can move it any way you want. To a degree, I believe that, but you can't just eat $100 million on the books in dead cap. Can't happen. It's as simple as the Browns, we know they made the mistake. There's no question about it. You knew going into this year, and especially as the year's gone on, the Deshaun contract was a mistake. The Browns won't admit it publicly. We all know that's the case. So the Browns had the opportunity to do the adult thing of just move on, sort of take the money as it is and get away from the contract as soon as possible. But instead, we're going to do the thing here where you continue to kick the can down the road. You tie yourself to now this contract and ending money up on your books for years and years to come, because it was essentially done after 2027. And from what I've garnered, it is basically now being pushed into at least 2029, maybe 2030. Based on what our friends at Spotrac have written about it and what they think the Browns are planning on doing with this move, it's basically going to push this 2029-2030. And it's not the idea that, okay, I knew DeSean was going to be a big hit this year and it was going to be hard to build around it. But the fact of when you look into the future now, 2027 is somewhere, and I've been calling for the Browns to rebuild for several weeks now. I mean, it just makes no sense for you to try to run that back what you have right now and think that you're going to compete. It makes no sense at all. You have so many glaring gaps on this team, despite winning 11 games just a year ago, that didn't appear to be there in 2023, that have now reared their ugly head in 2024. It's too big of a build to go through in just one season to try to pull things up and think that you're going to flip it around that fast. So sure, you take some of that money off the book, but 2027 was somewhere I looked of, okay, if you rebuild, realistically in the NFL, you stockpile draft picks, you make some moves, you make the right decisions, hit on your picks, you could be right back at the top. You could be back competing by a year like 2027, and now the estimated cap hit going into that year with the restructure is going to be something ridiculous like $90 million. So you're once again on the books, just not within the next 2 years.
Yeah, so I'm reading here on CBS, and they're essentially saying that after 2025, this restructure makes it easier for them to dump the contract if need be. But Cleveland's still going to be paying him the same amount. He's still owed what he's owed. They're not giving him more money. They're not, you know. But it's going to lessen the cap hit for the last few years, but it also essentially extends him for another.
Yeah, three seasons. Like, what you would have paid in 2027 would have been a big hit. You were basically going to be on the books after for like $75 million. Doing this, from what I've read, basically allows you to get him the post-June 1st release in 2027 and spread that out over a couple of seasons. It's just a move that, in my eyes, it's the Browns saying and re-upping on the fact that they want to compete next year. Which, if that's what you want to do, this move makes sense. I'm not saying that this is a boneheaded move from the financial stance of what the Browns actually want to accomplish. My problem comes into what the Browns actually want to accomplish. And it's that they're going into next year thinking they can compete. Every sign has told you that's not going to be the case. We've been talking about quarterbacks and how I don't feel good about a single quarterback that's going to be available to you for weeks on end. And they just continue to double down on the fact that that's going to be the case. And with it, it comes to you tying yourself to the worst contract in what is likely to be sports history when things are said and done. Because you got to call a spade, DeSean has been nothing short of atrocious. It's been bad quarterback play, and you paid a lot of money to him. And there's a lot of things that get tied into it that we'll get to throughout the show. But it boils down to the fact that you've now established the fact that DeSean will be, in some way, shape, or form, impacting the way that you have to build a team up until you have a dome in Brook Park. That's not what you want to hear. That is not the way to rid yourself of the contract, rid yourself of the worst decision that you've made probably in the last decade or much farther than that, depending on how you want to view it. To me, it makes no sense. You're just tying yourself to DeSean Watson for even longer than you have to. And the Browns want to roll this thing back and compete. I just look, sure, Andrew Berry's made some good trades. I just don't know what's going to be on the table that you think is going to be there to plug the numerous holes that you have in this team. It just does not add up to me. And I want a lot of your guys' thoughts today. I mean, listen, it's news. I think that, in all honesty, like Nick's reaction to it was probably more overblown than I feel about it. I'm not happy about it. Nick was up in arms. He said several times today through afternoon drive, he was basically, you know, trying not to get fired throughout the day based on what happened. But I do want you guys' thoughts on it. 216-474-0092 throughout the show. We'll get to you guys. But it's just hard to wrap your head around that you're going to confirm the fact right now that you're going to have Deshaun on the roster essentially through 2026.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
What the restructure does for you, the big thing coming out of that is 2026. And again, I told you guys it doesn't bother me that much. I was basically under the assumption that was happening anyway. But to confirm it 2 years early and say, well, we could push this all up, essentially hit the rebuild button to the point where, yeah, you're not that worried about the salary cap. The Browns take a big step down. But it's in big plans to sort of rebuild the entire thing. They stepped away from that and now dug fully their heels into the idea that you have to compete next year. You have to compete next year with an aging offensive line who had serious struggles this year. No solution at quarterback that we can see right now. No run game. A lack of wide receivers who you feel confident in. A defense who took a major step back. If you would have told me the Browns did this after 2023, it would have been a different story. You had won 11 games. It made sense for the Browns to double down on 2024. You had a lot of promise. You had a lot of hope. Coming off of a season where you have 3 wins and everything that could have possibly gone wrong has essentially gone wrong, you now just kick the can down the road. And it's... looks to me like it's going to be more of the Browns will never admit to the idea that they want to go to a rebuild, even when that's what makes most sense for the team. This is going to be the perpetual idea of, I have 3 wins, I have 4 wins, but we'll just keep trying to throw money out there and seeing if we stick something, seeing if something lands. Well, guys, it hasn't worked very well so far. The money you've tossed around, if you're Andrew Berry, the glaring contract of the one we're discussing right now with Deshaun Watson, but in a lot of other cases, those have come back to bite him. Those have not been the strongest moves that have pulled the Browns into the stardom that you wanted them to have. It has set you back, and the rebuild is the whole idea behind that, and you went through it. I get it. But at the same time, you're basically living in your own fears if you're afraid of rebuild because of what happened the first time. It is the clear path and has always been the clear path to getting your franchise back on track. And I don't know where in the Browns that clouded judgment comes from of completely ignore that that's the idea. That you can essentially just try to keep this thing and piece it together year by year and that it's somehow all going to work out. This is a move where the Browns have to now be good in 2024 because we'll get into Myles Garrett's comments and, I mean, you can attach Denzel Ward to that. You can attach Joel Bitonio to it of wanting a plan and wanting this team to find a way to be competitive for them to want to stay here. Guess what? If you walk into 2025 and don't have this whole thing figured out and right back on track to be as a winning team, all the things that you just did, all the money you just kicked down the road was all for naught because these guys aren't going to want to be here anyway. 216-474-0092. I just want your reactions to the Deshaun restructure. We're completely open to anything that you think. I just can't believe that this is what we're talking about on a Friday towards the end of the season, and these are the moves that the Browns are making. It completely catches you by surprise. 820, we'll switch over to the Cavs for a little bit. We'll bring in Greg Swartz of Bleacher Report. He'll break down the Cavs' upcoming West Coast trip. 9 o'clock, we'll go to Get a Grip, as we always do. And coming up at 10 o'clock, we'll have some shifting parts here in the show. We'll bring in James Bridges, who's not currently here, but he'll be here. And we'll do Change Your Mind, as we typically do. All that coming up, again, 216-474-0092. Your reactions to Deshaun. We'll also get to our X mentions, where you can find me at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake, so we can get to our X mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. It's Jake Volnick with you guys up until 11 right here on 92.3 The Fan. For the most part, Daryl's reasoning behind the restructure makes a lot of sense. The one thing I don't agree with, though, is the idea that it has nothing to do with Barry's job security. It's basically, in my eyes, has almost everything to do with Barry's job security in the sense that it has everything to do with the Browns competing next year. Like, yes, the money changes for years to come, and it is opening up some back lines there and to get maybe some money off the table in 2027 to the point where you don't have to essentially owe Deshaun his entire contract, everything that's been kicked down the road already in that year. But realistically, this is to open up the Browns in 2025. Right? It makes them being able to compete. It lessens the cap hit for Deshaun going forward that year, or opens the door for them to lessen the cap hit, which is what I fully expect for them to do. It's all about the money on the back end, but it will get to be that point if everything that we think about the Browns will essentially get you there. And again, that's not my own thoughts. That's basically on the idea of Spotrac, and they're one of the best at it. This is basically their entire job. This is all they focus on. So it's after Deshaun's contract would be converted into a signing bonus, his base contract for the next 2 years. And if they're right, which I lean in favor of them, you're just trying to open the door here. You're trying to make it a possibility to open the door for the Browns to recompete in 2025. So it's not the move there yet, but you're working towards it. And it just makes no sense to me. The Browns are fully set up to be able to be rebuilding in what is going to be the worst financial years that you've had in a really long time, considering you're not going to have Deshaun on the field, or even having Deshaun on the field is not going to help your football team. And the Browns are just like, let's just double down on next year and having to keep all these guys here, and we'll deal with the money later. It has been the picture of Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry's here of kick the can down the road, we'll deal with that one later. Let's just try to do something now. Which in the time, like, let's not lie about it. It felt great. Felt great when you were doing that. Yeah, worry about later. You have a position to win, but that window has come flying shut ever since you signed the contract in the first place. Once you sign the contract and Deshaun doesn't live up to it, the window comes flying shut a lot faster, to the point where, let's be honest, 2025, I don't even think it's cracked open for you. There's not a chance that you're out there competing and making any legitimate moves to the point where you think that you can convince yourself you're a Super Bowl contender moving into 2025, and probably not even in 2026. But this is the start of the idea that the Browns are going to double down all the way onto that. 216-474-0092. Told you guys I want to get you in here and get your opinions out. So we start with John in Cleveland. John, you're first up on the Fan. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm going to keep this short and sweet. I'm not pleased with this. This reaffirms to me that this front office cannot be trusted with this team's future. And as long as Andrew Berry is employed by this team and Deshaun Watson is being paid by this team, I'm not wasting my time with him. I can find something else to do with my entertainment dollars.
I mean, I don't judge you, John. I appreciate the call. A lot of people getting mad over this. Listen, it makes sense to me. I told you guys, I've worked myself up throughout the day on it. I came in relatively mellow, but as things have played their way out, yeah, it bothers me more and more. And the idea that this is essentially Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, the moves are more so going probably in favor of their jobs, which we'll get into later in the show as well. I struggle to believe that's not the case. That's what the move feels like. It's entirely geared towards. Like, all of the moves have essentially gone to that idea instead of what actually helps the Browns franchise. At least that's the way that it's starting to feel. Lance is in Painesville. Lance, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I think people need to step back and take their emotions. It's hard to take your emotions out of your favorite NFL team, but people need to take their emotions out of it and think about it from a cerebral standpoint. I mean, they're doing what they got to do from a financial standpoint. At the same time, the NFL is the major sport that you can go from worst to first quicker than in other sports.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen teams in the last 10, 12 years that nobody expected to go to the Super Bowl or make a long playoff run that have. Second of all, this old notion that Myles Garrett is doing what he's doing strictly because of Deshaun Watson, Kevin Stefanski, why are people treating him like the invisible man or Mr. Untouchable? Yeah, he won Coach of the Year twice. And then both times, he went to the playoffs in years and nobody thought the Browns would do anything. But, go to the playoffs 2 years in a row, why don't you? Win a division title. Get out the second round of the playoffs. Most of the Coach of the Years that won multiple times, they've done that. They've gone to Super Bowls. They go to the playoffs more than once in a year, two or three years in a row. They make long playoff runs. Kevin Stefanski is not this genius that a lot of people keep saying, oh, he's a genius. He's a quarterback whisperer. No, he's not. You know, you better look at him, too, while you're looking at Andrew Berry as far as replacing people with this team in the situation to contend for a championship.
Yeah, and Lance, appreciate the call. The two things that I want to break down from Lance's call there is the idea that, so yes, the NFL is the place that you can go from sort of worst to first. No doubt. The problem is that it starts at the front. Okay, like the Lions are a team that have perpetually been in that worst conversation and have very quickly turned themselves into first, but they did it based on the decision makers in the building. Right? Name me the last time the Lions missed on a draft pick. We're probably still waiting. I'll wait for you to dig through the last 8 years of content to find where the Lions missed on their draft pick. It was probably like Jeff Okuda. Shout out Buckeyes. Good job. Good corner there. But that was probably the last time they missed. They just continually hit on their draft picks. They took the thing whereas, okay, yeah, we've been bad, but now we'll take being bad. We'll turn that into something good. We'll use our first-round picks to rebuild and make sure all the decisions are in the front. They are now a team who has shown you they can do that. The problem is the Browns have not shown you they can go from worst to first. The Browns have been back in Cleveland longer than I've been alive. Okay, and not much to show for it. Where is the worst to first conversation? If the NFL is a place that you can do it the fastest and the easiest, where is it? I have yet to be able to see a Browns regime who's been able to turn that into reality. It has been from worst to not so bad, back down to worst. But I'm still waiting on the idea of first. And I don't need you to win a Super Bowl for me to call you first, by the way. I need you to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender, which the Browns have not been. The other thing I wanted to react from Lance's call was Kevin Stefanski. I don't know that anybody's treating Kevin Stefanski like Mr. Invisible Man. Okay, the guy's been on the hot seat. He was on the hot seat last year. The year he won Coach of the Year, got you 11 wins, and took Joe Flacco into the playoffs.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica, This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is he an offensive genius? I don't know. I like to think he's a pretty good head coach. I don't know if offensive genius is the label I'm slapping on him right now, but I think he's a pretty good head coach who has been dealt one of the worst hands that you've ever seen in the NFL. Name to me a quarterback that Kevin Stefanski would have loved to have played with and coached in his time in Cleveland, because we're going to be waiting here all day.
Baker Mayfield.
I don't think so. But is it the closest idea? In terms of actually being young and a guy with a future and some of the play style aspects, yes. I think Kevin Stefanski would have liked somebody who maybe a little bit bigger. Maybe he could build an offense a little bit more around. But, like, yeah, Baker semi-made sense. I also don't think it was Kevin Stefanski's ideal quarterback. I don't think that was the guy that, if you gave him the marker in that draft, he probably didn't pick Baker Mayfield. Probably would have went and selected somebody else. Probably by the name of Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen probably fits a Kevin Stefanski offense in more ways than Baker did. You have turned a lot of nothing into something if you're Kevin Stefanski. It's not this idea of he's an invisible man and he can't be fired. He's on the hot seat. We're basically sitting here saying the guy's got one more year to prove he's got something or not. I think it's just the idea that he's actually shown he can do something without having say over who's playing quarterback for him and actually having been dealt a good hand offensively and one that he wants. I think that's a lot more of it. Go out back to the phones. John is in Wycliffe. John, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good, pretty good. Hey, let me just say, to me, it's like Kevin Stefanski didn't, take Joe Flacco to the playoffs. It might be that Joe Flacco took Kevin Stefanski to the playoffs because, you know, Stefanski, if you look at it historically, it's like he got Baker in his third year, and Baker was great in his first year and great in his third year, and then he got hurt in his fourth year.
Right.
And both times in his good years, you know, Baker takes Stefanski to the coach of the year that year. So then the next year, what happens? It's like Baker's gets hurt. Stefanski doesn't want to bench him. Everyone in the world said, okay, you got to bench this guy, right? You know, because he's hurt. But somehow Baker must have talked his way into it or whatever the heck happened. But it's like, okay, now he gets Deshaun. You know, I'm sure he didn't want Deshaun Watson. I don't know who the heck made that trade, whether it was Berry or Haslam, but I don't think it was Stefanski. But at the same time, he couldn't say no. There's no way he was going to say no. He was just going to go with it. But he doesn't know how to coach a guy like Watson. I don't know. He definitely knows how to coach a guy like Baker. And, you know, obviously, Flacco was just a veteran that knew what he was doing. So, you know, when people think that the Browns are over, I don't think this whole Deshaun Watson thing, I mean, we have to get rid of him, obviously. I think he's gone. I don't think we'll ever see him again. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, Stefanski's got to learn to stick up for, you know, I mean, just, you know, organize this thing better where he's just not ready to stand up to these, either the owner or the quarterback or whatever. But he's, you know, I mean, you can't say this Haslam was the guy that said, oh, keep playing Baker when he's hurt, right? That had to be Stefanski.
I don't know that for a fact. And, John, we're up against it, so I got to let you go, but I do appreciate the call. I don't know that for a fact. What I do think is that if you're looking at Joe Flacco just being a veteran knowing what he's doing, explain to me Denver. Explain to me the Jets. He was a veteran quarterback there who should have still known what he's doing, but he didn't look very good. I'm not saying Joe was a washed-up bum. Like, he clearly still had a little left in the tank. But Joe Flacco was more so the prototypical quarterback in a Kevin Stefanski offense. No, Kevin probably doesn't know how to coach Deshaun. I don't know that there's a quarterback out there or a coach out there right now who does know. I'm still waiting to find that guy. But I don't know that he was the right guy to coach Deshaun. I think that was a pairing made probably in the worst place imaginable. When you put the two together, they were never going to be a good pairing. You're asking Kevin to change everything he knew, which, sure, your coach can know a lot about plenty of things, but how to actually adapt them and build them into an offense is a whole different beast. One that works in the NFL is a whole different beast. I just can't look at that and say Baker made Kevin Stefanski, Joe made Kevin Stefanski. No, he took quarterbacks that were suboptimal and made them pretty darn good quarterbacks and made them work. I can't pin it on Kevin. Not to say that he's untouchable and he's this amazing coach, but I think he's pretty good. I think it boils down a lot more to the idea of an issue with Deshaun. It's probably an issue with Andrew Berry, and you can take it right to the top. It's definitely an issue with Jimmy Haslam. 216-474-0092. See plenty of guys still hanging on the line. We'll get to your calls when we come back. I also want to tie Myles Garrett into this whole thing because as much as we want to blame all the guys we've been talking about, Myles shoulders a little bit of this being pushed ahead so far and the Browns making the moves that they're going to be making coming up in the future. Jake Volnick with the guys here on 92.3 The Fan. I told you guys, we're getting a lot of flack essentially to Stefanski, how this works, Haslam, how it works, Berry, how it works, which rightfully so. Okay, all of those guys are a puzzle piece in this equation. But I think you're leaving out a puzzle piece if you just don't talk about the implications that Myles Garrett has in it either. And need I remind you, yes I do, I will, the comments that Myles Garrett made about a week ago, last Friday, on what he wanted to happen in order for him to continue to be a Cleveland Brown.
I want to be a Cleveland Brown. I want to play here, want to end my career here. But, you know, if we choose to rebuild and, you know, it's 2, 3, 4 years out, you know, I want to be able to, you know, compete and play at a high level, play meaningful games, and be playing, you know, past January.
So it's not the only thing that goes into the Browns doing everything here, because I think to a point, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski's jobs are on the line. And with 1 year, if you say, hey, we're going to go into a rebuild, well, you're essentially firing yourself. Okay, like if Andrew Berry is like, let's just scrap things, try to build this thing up from the start, you're basically firing yourself. I don't know that everyone's going to sit around patiently for the Browns to go through a rebuild with Andrew Berry, maybe with Kevin Stefanski, and just be completely happy and gung-ho about it. But Myles is also in this equation. This puts pressure on guys like Andrew Berry, on someone like Jimmy Haslam, to say, listen, if you want to keep in your future Hall of Famer, and you want him to continue to play for your team, and you want to be competitive in a couple of years, he could be a key piece to that. Obviously, without a doubt. Anything or any time that Myles says something like that, it puts pressure on the front office to make a decision and start making those decisions very quickly, because Miles is going to want to see a plan in front of him. We've been talking about this for the last week. He wants to see a plan in front of him in order for the Browns to continue and to succeed immediately. It's how the Browns then react to, are we essentially going to give in to Miles, or are we going to do, in my eyes, what would be the best for the franchise and tear the thing down? And they're telling you right now, with a move like this, setting up for what they can do then going forward by converting Deshaun's salaries and the signing bonuses, like, no, this is going to be a compete right now move. That's what this is going to be. They are going to double down on the fact that they want the Browns to be competitive once again in 2025. They'll do everything in their power. This is step one in the plan to show Miles, here's how we're going to do that. We're going to lessen the cap hit. We'll worry about the later years later. Those aren't going to be your major concern anyway. We'll address that farther down the road. Don't worry about it. It probably won't be your problem in the first place.
So I got to ask, and I hate that I'm asking you, but it's on the conversation of Miles Garrett wanting to be here. So he's in his prime right now. This is the best we've ever seen him. Again, this year's a little weird, but it's the best we've ever seen him, especially last year. This is year 8.
Right.
If we're going to continue down this path to 2027, there's going to be a time where, like, we're going to have to, like, really consider, you know, Miles is going to be getting old. When do they pull that trigger on either just on the decision on him, I should say, of letting him loose and playing somewhere else, or saying, hey, this guy's going to play here forever no matter what, and we're just going to have to eat more cap? Like, what do you think, like, do you think that Watson, like, affects that? Like, what they're going
to
do with him?
He has to affect everything. He has to affect everything. The money on the table, he impacts every single decision that the Browns have to make. I brought it up, I think it was on, it might have been yesterday, we talked about it briefly about Miles with Dan when I was filling in from 8 to noon. Like, at some point you have to ask yourself, if you're the Browns, and to Dom's point here, yeah, letting Miles walk might be the best decision for Miles if you went through a rebuild. Letting Miles walk might also be the best decision for the Cleveland Browns in terms of just having to pay him in the future, what contract you're going to have to hand him when you can find yourself competitive once again. And yeah, you get to that hump of sort of 30, 31, 32. Miles might still be really good. At some point, though, pass rushers, you become less effective. You're not the 27, 28-year-old. Miles now 29 years old or about to push it. I don't remember if he had his birthday yet. It's some point in here. It was like a week away when we were talking about it. It's either happened or about to happen. But like, he's 29. It's not like you can just completely ignore the fact that he's getting up there in age and he's not going to be superstar forever in his window of he's basically anchoring the Browns defense and continue to be as strong as he is. Isn't going to last until he's 40. Then your window just keeps going where he's your star player, and that's what you get into. So maybe it is better for the Browns if you would have let him walk. But again, I think the move that you just made sort of deters you away from that thinking.
Because you have until he's, what, 32, 33 for his prime, I would say. And this is not considering injuries, right?
Right.
Hopefully, God willing, he's healthy throughout the rest of his career. And no outside factors as well. But it's touchy because you never want to get rid of a guy like him, and no one's meant more to this franchise since they came back, really, since him. I mean, you could correct me. You're a lifelong fan. But no, like,
that's pretty accurate.
It's a decision I think we have. And we were having that last year. JP was having that on this show when he was on the show about Nick Chubb. And now we're seeing a Nick Chubb that may probably not wear this jersey again.
Yeah.
With another injury.
Like, it's hard to paint. It's hard to let go of guys like that, and there's big decisions made when you do that. It's just hard to then, I think, sort of build this thing back up and live with the fact of, you're basically clinching on to paper straws here. With every move that you make to compete next year, you're basically just living on hopes and prayers that the Browns turn this thing around. Let's slip in a couple more of your guys' phone calls here. 216-474-0092. Daryl's in Euclid. Daryl, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. Just speaking on the Miles Garrett situation. I mean, the scary part about it is that Joel Bitonio said the exact same thing a couple days later. He wants to see a plan. And Joel is 33. So we're at a point now where we're starting to see our stars slow down. Joel Bitonio, Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb due to injury. Right. And I just don't see a fix. The closest thing to a fix that I think can happen to appease everybody and possibly get a good result out of it is go out and get Kirk Cousins and draft a quarterback. It's not a secret that Flacco had a huge impact on Stefanski. And maybe Stefanski had an impact on Joe Bitonio, I mean, on Joe Flacco. But when one left, one declined. When Flacco left, Kevin Stefanski looks like a bum now. And I really don't think he's a great as coach as people say that he is. And I think that showed in the discipline from the players this year with all, you know, almost leading the league in false starts and penalties. That's discipline. So that comes down to coaching and not really adjusting to the illegal shift rule the way they were supposed to. That's coaching. You're supposed to have them prepared for that. But as a fan, lifelong fan, the formula does still work. You can do it. You can turn it around pretty quickly. The formula still works. But three things have to be in place for it to work. A great front office, great trades, great draft picks, and a quarterback. And the Browns haven't put themselves in a position, no matter what regime came in, they haven't put themselves in a position where they've had all three of those things. And I think that Deshaun Watson trade set them back. I just don't see anything. There's no possible way. I don't see a high percentage way of turning this thing around positively to keep these guys here. I don't see how.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to sort of piece together, Daryl, and we're going to be up against it, so I got to let you go. But again, as always, appreciate the call, man. It's you're right in the terms of building those three things around. I also just think if you don't believe the Browns have any of those three things right now, where you can't sort of build together the trades, you can't build together the draft picks, and you clearly don't have the quarterback, you're then running it back with Andrew Berry once again, like. It all goes back to the idea of the Browns are going to do that. You need to have those things in place in order to do it. And right now, it doesn't feel like they do. Which comes full circle back to the idea that I think it's just easier to rebuild. 216-474-0092. More calls from you guys on the other side as well. And when we talk Andrew Berry and we talk Kevin Stefanski, the big thing that Jimmy Haslam has always said and that we've sort of picked out of what he said, they bring stability. They bring steadiness to a franchise that has been dysfunctional. It almost seems like that might be more fabricated and more clear to see than ever before. Again, 216-474-0092. It's Jake Falnick with you guys up until 11 o'clock right here on 92.3 The Fan.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.